Who would you rather talk to? Now, that's a very vague question, unless we put some more information up here. Would you rather talk to this guy or this guy? Who would you rather talk to? I think the answer should be pretty clear to that. Who would the Lord rather talk to? And we know the way the Lord talks to us today is through His Word. He certainly has revealed His nature through the creation and all those things, but He reveals His will to us through the Scriptures, through His Word. And He wants to talk to us, but He wants us to listen. And the question we have to answer is, which one am I? Are we listening? Are we open, ready to listen? Or are we stopping our ears to the truth? That's what we want to consider for a few moments. Matthew 11 and verse 15 is one of several places in Scripture in the New Testament we're referring to right this minute where something like this is said. Jesus said in Matthew 11 verse 15, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." That's an interesting expression, and He uses it or some variation of it, as we say, a number of times in Scripture. If you have the ability to learn and to hear and to know what God would have you to say, pay attention. There's something being said that is worth hearing, that is important for you to hear. You better listen, is the point. Kind of reminds us of what Gary was saying about the idea of the person who believes, who is convinced there is no God, you better be right. And that makes us think of the statement in the Psalms that says a couple of different places, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It takes a foolish person to affirm that there is no God. And we better listen to him. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 13, in connection with the parable of the sower. Matthew 13, verse 43, then in the discussion or the explanation of the parable of the tares, the same kind of thing is said. To each of the seven churches of Asia, the statement is made, if you have ears, listen, let him hear. He who hath ears, or hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's what we want to talk about. Listen to God. It's important to listen to other people. When I was working on this presentation and the information for this lesson tonight, I was looking at online at various things about images and that kind of thing for the presentation. And there were several websites that I connected pretty automatically with this kind of thing where people were giving good business advice and how important it is in business to be a good listener. And there was one website that I wish I'd had a little more time to look into that talked about different kinds of listeners and that kind of thing. But we're talking about tonight not just the need to be a good listener with other people. One statement I read was that every good conversation begins with listening. And I thought that was useful. We're emphasizing the idea tonight of listening to God. If you have an ear, listen. Listen to God first, last, and always. I guess we could almost say if you never listen to anything else, listen to God. But of course, a person who listens to God will learn how to listen to other people and their needs and the things that we can need to know about them as well. In Mark 4 and Luke 18, we want to talk about we want to introduce the subject further of listening for learning. Listening for learning is not just to listen, it's listen to learn, to actually learn what we need to be learning. Mark 4 and verse 24, after that account in Mark of the parable of the sower, Jesus says various things, including this statement in verse 24. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. So, interesting point here that Jesus says, take heed what you hear. Give emphasis to what you're listening to based on what attitudes in your heart and what you expect to receive from it. Take heed to what you hear. And we could talk about that at great length, but we don't want to labor the point just now. In similar context, again, the record of Luke after the parable of the sower. Therefore, Jesus said, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. Take heed how you hear. And those are two very important things. It's not just a matter of weeding out what comes to our ears that Jesus is addressing here. It is what kind of attitude we have when we hear, when we things come to our mind through our ears, through our brains, to our faculties to consider those things. Pay attention. Take heed. What you hear, take heed how you hear. What's your attitude? Benefit can come to you if you are willing to learn what God reveals to you. And the attitude that you have is going to determine whether or not you receive that benefit. Let's talk for the next few moments about some types of listeners. Many a sermon's been done on this kind of thing, but we want to address a few here together tonight. Types of listeners. The first one that I have listed is the never really listener. The person who sits in the presence of teaching, even maybe reads the Word of God, but never really listens. Never really pays any attention to the Word of God. His ears are shut. It's like this boy here with the idea in both ears, everything that's coming into his ears as far as he is concerned is just blah, 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 blah. And that's the way sometimes the message of God is to us. It's just something that we never really pay any attention to. Now, we would say that that would certainly be the case with someone who is not willing to believe the truth of God initially. But we need to be careful that we don't take that attitude toward the learning that will lead to our being more mature, growing Christians, as we shall address in the next point. Jesus, in the parable of the sower, reminds them, as well as in other places, of what Isaiah had said about a people whose hearts had grown fat or gross, whose eyes were closed and their ears they had shut so that they could not or would not learn what God would have them to see. Is it possible that we would ever be a never really listening sort of a person, that we're not the person who ever really hears what is said to us? Sometimes preconceptions can get in the way of our listening. We have our mind made up already and we're not willing to listen to what God would have us say. Sometimes distractions cause us not to listen. In other words, we're reading the words, but we're thinking about everything but the words. The same kind of thing can happen in the other direction when we're supposed to be addressing God in our prayers. We can be so distracted as to not really address the needs that we have before God. Then the second one that I want to talk about for a few moments is the idea of the dull listener. This is the person who is not maturing, not growing. He's listening, but he's not really growing, not learning about that. Turn with me over to Hebrews, the 5th chapter, and the familiar passage to the most present here tonight. And let's talk for a moment about this listener, this dull listener. The subject here is that the writer, by the Spirit, is about to talk about the rather challenging topic of the priesthood of Christ after the order of Melchizedek. And as he addresses this subject and begins to approach it, he says here in verse 11, of whom we have much to say, that is concerning the priesthood of Christ after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. The thing that particularly makes this teaching effort here challenging and hard to explain is the fact that the readers, the listeners, if you will, have not prepared themselves to learn. They've become dull of hearing. And then verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you've not matured, you ought to be teaching instead of having to be taught again these same basic things. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We've been talking in our studies in the adult or the auditorium class here on Sunday mornings about the subject of the denominationalism and some of the wrong concepts that are held in the world about the church and that kind of thing. And one of the things that we've been talking about is the idea that people are in circumstances where their whole concepts about this kind of thing have to do with a clergy-laity sort of arrangement. That is, that there are people who are supposed to be the learned ones, and then they're supposed to be the people who are directed by them. Certainly the Bible teaches that folks who teach ought to be prepared to teach. But there is also the concept, even as is addressed here in this setting, that people who are maturing in the faith ought to be learning to the point of not only learning for their own exercise and practice, but learning how to teach others as well. And I really believe that there is a real comfort in a lot of people's minds in being in a situation where they don't feel any need to learn anything on their own. Just let the clergy, the priests in that certain context, preachers in other settings, do the learning, and all the rest of us will just listen and learn. I am very thankful that there are so many of brothers and sisters in this church and in others that I know of who don't take that disposition. They want to learn, they want to know, they test, they try, they prove. And they're not going to let somebody pull the wool over their eyes because they're learning on their own, and they're not waiting for someone else to tell them what they're supposed to believe. They're letting God tell them as they seek the truth in His Word. They're maturing. So there's the person who never really listens. That would take us back to the fellow who was depicted by the soil on the wayside. The seed is sown there, and the devil straightway comes and takes it away. And then there's the dull listener, who may be somebody who begins to serve the Lord, but then that individual is of this spirit that they're not really going to grow at all and not going to bear any fruit to the Lord. Maybe it's the deceitfulness of riches, or there's no root in them, whichever it would, or deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world, or they're not being rooted in the truth. And then there is the itching ears listener. This one takes us over to the case in 2 Timothy chapter 4 for just a few moments. So let's turn to 2 Timothy 4 and talk about that passage for just a few minutes. Let's get that goofy picture off of there before we do that. 2 Timothy 4, Paul wrote to Timothy and said, I charge you therefore, beginning in verse 1, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. This passage tells us about those who have itching ears. They are ruled by selfish desires. They, after their own lusts, heap to themselves teachers that will tell them what they want to hear and will turn aside from the truth and turn aside to fables. When we see the instruction to Timothy here to preach the word, it's interesting that he emphasizes the kinds of things that are involved in that, that you're to do so with in season and out of season, whether it's liked or not liked, whether it's convenient or inconvenient. Not only so, but he says that you're to convince, or that is to reprove, then to rebuke. That is, you have to stand against wrongdoing in the lives of people. To exhort, that is to warn, to make people aware of danger that's before them. And you're to do all of this with all long-suffering and teaching. You're to do so with consistency, long patience, long-temperedness, not with forbearance and not giving up. And you're to do so with teaching or with doctrine. It's to be the word of God, the message that comes from God that's to be taught here. Sometimes I think it is held, or it is the attitude of people, that someone who preaches the word does so with preconceptions about what that involves. For example, sometimes people think that a preacher is somebody who talks in a certain tone of voice. I've told you the story about the fellow before that down in Eastern North Carolina when I went to a revival meeting at a denominational group down the road from us there, that the fella stood up and he started as it was the last night of a week-long meeting, and he was just thanking everyone for all the special music and for all the meals and all the good treatment it had had, and he said it just about like I'm saying this right now, just so. And he said, "And I want to thank you." Turning there to the third chapter of the book of Philippians, and it just jarred me. He started preaching. Well, I want to tell you that sometimes inflection relative to a situation relates to the content. I had a Spanish teacher in high school. How many of you know who Doug Moe was? Not a hand in the bunch. Doug Moe. Now, you Carolina fans ought to maybe know who Doug Moe was. He played basketball at Carolina back in the late 50s and early 60s, I would say, somewhere along in there. And he was on the team when they had a big scandal back in those days. But Doug went on to both play and coach in professional basketball later on. And I only met Doug one time, but the only reason I met him was because his wife was my Spanish teacher my first 2 years in high school. And she had just gotten out of Carolina, and she was teaching high school there. She was a great Spanish teacher. We ran into him one time just coincidentally on the beach, and he was with her. And she said, "Hello, Senor Hickman." And there was Big Doug, 6'7" or 6'8" or whatever, and about as big across as he was, and that kind of thing. But Ms. Moe was an excellent teacher. But there was something about her that I had a hard time swallowing sometimes. And I don't think this was insincere. I just think it was her way. It was her habit. She was a very pleasant woman, very pleasant looking, and had a very pretty smile. But she smiled all the time, the same smile. She smiled when she stood before our Spanish class and said, "I have evidence that some of you are cheating on your test." When she stopped me in the hall at my locker and said, "Senor Hickman, I just want to tell you, your grades are going downhill." And she was that same smile on her face. I want to say, please cry, do something, you know, act like you care. It is hard to talk about sin and condemnation and death and act like you're Ms. Moe in Spanish class, you know, that kind of thing. So inflection of the voice is consistent with teaching, with verbal communication. It's consistent with that kind of thing. And I don't have any problem with preachers with a certain tone of voice and such, but that's not what causes preaching to be preaching. It's preaching the word. It's all long-suffering and doctrine, reprove, rebuke, exhort, etc. With all long-suffering and doctrine, that's what makes it work that way. Preaching is not done because someone has certain credentials other than the credentials of being able to handle the word of God aright, which Paul was told Timothy back in chapter 2 and verse 15 to do there. The point is that people who want preachers who meet their expectations from some self-serving attitude are people who are not the right kind of listeners. Sometimes Timothy or Paul or other preachers of the gospel have had to say things that nobody wants to hear. And they don't want, in one sense of the term, to have to say it because it isn't pleasant. There are things that children of God have to do that aren't pleasant, that aren't easy to do. But it's necessary if we love God and if we love one another that we uphold the truth. And teachers who appeal to teachers who have listening ears are not very effective for the cause of Christ. And I realize that I am preaching not to the choir but to the preacher when I say these things, as well as to the listeners. Then there's the honest listener. Now, I chose this little guy that I found on the internet because he's a young child. And I remembered as I was thinking about this that Jesus said, "Whoever would come to me and be my disciple has to become like a little child and has to have that kind of heart. Humble yourself and become like a little child. Be ready to learn. Be ready to listen. Be pure in your disposition and your attitude." And that's what you must do in order to be an honest listener. When we talk about this kind of listener, we're talking about the kind of person who can and will bear fruit to God. And we've talked about bearing fruit in various contexts. There's the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc. And all of this has to do with the idea of people who are doing what the Spirit of God instructs them in God's Word. They are doing the things that are a result of the truth of God. That's the fruit born by it. There's fruit learned in serving other, fruit born in serving other people. There's fruit born in teaching other people and the outcome of that. And as Gary, and as was said earlier tonight and this morning, I believe, in our prayer, the idea is that we must listen to God and let Him bring the fruit as we sow and we water and all that kind of thing. Bearing fruit to God comes only when we have good and honest hearts that are willing to listen to the truth. I've also told, I'm sure, about the teacher that I had in school who had some, in fact, I think I mentioned it very recently, who had some odd idiosyncrasies in his speaking manner and such things as that. And they were distracting at times, but the man was knowledgeable beyond what I realized at the point in time. And it was only really later when I began to realize how much I could have learned from that man and how much I did in spite of myself if I'd paid attention to what he said instead of his speaking mannerisms. And then there have been other teachers. I can think of one right now. I won't call his name. In fact, I have a lot of regard for the man. But he's regarded as a tremendous speaker. But there are very few things that I've ever learned from him in the times that I've listened to him. Because it seems to me that he has his reputation comes from his speaking ability instead of from his content. And there are a lot of other teachers that I know who both have the speaking ability and the ability to present the content of the Word of God. The honest listener is out to learn what God wants him or her to know, wants us to know from God's Word. So we've talked about the person who never really listens. We've talked about the person who's dull of hearing. We've talked about the person who is seeking teachers because they have selfish agenda that they're out to accomplish, that they're seeking teachers after their own lust. They have itching ears. And then we've talked about the honest listener who bears fruit to God. There they are in front of us. Which are we? We had the picture up there to begin with. We want to be people who listen to learn God's will. I mean, I'm not talking about listening. When Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That hearing process has to do with coming to the knowledge of, coming to know. And that can involve our reading and our studying on our own as we read from God's word, as Timothy was told to do, and that kind of thing. We need to listen to learn God's will. We need to be the people who are saying, when it comes to God and what he wants me to know, I'm all ears. This guy's all ears. Let's get him off of there and put this other representative. Can you tell what that is? It's a fella digging in the dirt. Why in the world would we put that up there when we're talking about being all ears? Because this is a person who has learned God's word from the perspective of someone who is listening to learn to do God's will. That's where the real test comes as to whether or not we're willing to learn God's will, when we're learning it not just for the sake of the knowledge of it, but for the sake of the practical knowledge of it, in living for him and in serving him and doing his will. So then there's time to work, to sow and to plant and to do all of those things. But first we've got to be all ears. We've got to give heed to the message of the truth, and then we know what to do. But when we're listening with a good and honest heart, we're learning so that we may bear fruit unto God.